also want to go to another company here, because that is one of Australia's biggest industrial companies, a household brand name company, Coca-Cola Amatil. What's happened here is that Coca-Cola Amatil today has said it will take an impairment charge of $171 million as a result of its business SPC. Now, that means effectively it's written down the value of that business. But in the meantime, what Coca-Cola Amatil has also done is said that it will close its plant in South Australia, which will also take 180 jobs. Some of that money saved there will be actually moved into Queensland and a new investment in the Richlands area there. Now, the underlying results, the earnings before interest and tax, $683 million. The net profit after tax, $417 million there. Let's go to the chief executive of Coca-Cola Amatil, Alison Watkins, who is on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Alison.
Pleasure, Ross.
First up, can you take me through the decision to pull out of that plant in South Australia? What was the real problem in South Australia? And obviously, it's a big thing to actually have 180 jobs go for any business.
Yeah, Ross, it is. It's a really tough decision that we've taken. I think the good news is we're very proud as an Australian manufacturer to be investing in manufacturing and modernising our facilities. And we need to invest in new capacity where the market's going. So consumers are consuming more dairy products, more juices, and that's the areas where we need to head. So we want to make sure we've got modern capacity in those areas. And unfortunately, our Adelaide site is our oldest site. It has a lot of history, but it is constrained by where it's located, and it's just not a suitable site for us to be making that investment in. So we've made this decision. The site will close in 2019, along with our smaller Ramco site in South Australia as well. And, we'll obviously continue to have a very strong presence in South Australia. We have many other activities and many other employees who will continue, but our manufacturing operations will close in 2019.
Alison, one issue, I noticed you've said today that this has not got to do with the issue of energy security, and clearly South Australia has problems with that right now. But given the fact that in any of your plants, energy and the ready supply of energy and cheap energy is also an important thing for a bottler of any sort. Is it a consideration, not necessarily about this South Australian decision, but in the decisions about where you'll base your plants and also the base your operations in the future?
Well, certainly all our input costs are really important, and we work hard with all of our suppliers to make sure that we're as competitive as possible. So, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And the other point also that's in the news right now is, again, further calls for sugar taxes in Australia. And you sense that those politicians and health officials that are calling for sugar taxes in Australia are really looking at the UK example. Now, in regards to your own portfolio, I know you're changing the portfolio, putting more emphasis on those lower sugar carbonated beverages and so forth. Is this the way that you do it? Do you think that a sugar tax, for example, is inevitable in Australia?
Well, look, I think it's very clear that both the New Zealand and the Australian governments have come out and made it quite clear that they don't have any plans to introduce a sugar tax. So that is a positive thing. I think, yes, we have a lot of experience from looking at other markets where sugar taxes have been implemented. And it's very much our view that a sugar tax won't work here in Australia, and it will hurt. It'll hurt farmers, it will hurt manufacturing, it will hurt investment, and it will hurt jobs. And, we've been seeing quite a steady decline in the consumption of sugar-based beverages. And at the same time, we've seen an increase in obesity. Sugar-based beverages today account for something less than 2% of calorie intake. So a sugar tax on sweetened beverages is not going to solve the obesity problem. At the same time, we've been taking a lot of terrific initiatives around smaller pack sizes, reformulating our products, reorienting our marketing, and we're seeing those have a very positive effect. So, we absolutely know that we have a role to play, and I think that those direct initiatives that we can take have a much more tangible effect, and we're seeing the results of those in each of those initiatives.
The truth is that the change in consumption habits that you're talking about there, and then on top of that, even the threat of a sugar tax, is actually helping to change the portfolio. And as a result of that, the emphasis on those sugar-based soft drinks, you are starting to move, you know, ever slowly away from them. This is the key to this, isn't it? So in other words, behaviour is already being changed, even by the threat of a sugar tax.
Well, yeah, I think Australian consumers are—they're pretty savvy. They're pretty conscious of their health, and we're seeing them consume more water, more dairy, more juices, more lower-calorie products. And it's absolutely in our interests to be providing consumers with what they want. And so, you know, I really don't think that we need a sugar tax to hurry that along at all.
Okay, then take me to SPC. And the Ardmona business. That's a tough game, there is no doubt. There's obviously been, in the past, the anti-dumping cases that SPC has run and won against Italian tomatoes. But you have taken a big hit in terms of the value of that business here. Are you completely and utterly wedded to that business?
We're absolutely committed to SPC. It's a wonderful business, and we're very proud of our investment, which is really enabling us to modernise and lower the production costs, as well as produce a lot more products that really have a point of difference, that take us away from our core canned fruit products. So many more snacking products, better quality tomato products. And these are where the opportunities for SPC is. So we're absolutely committed to it. This is really an accounting thing that we needed to recognise. It is taking a bit longer to get to profitability, but we know that we're doing the right things and we know we'll get there.
I'll tell you what, always great to have in the program. Alison Watkins is the Chief Executive of Coca-Cola Amatil. And also, there's a big buyback of shares there, which equates to around about 4.65% of the company's capital. And Alison, we appreciate your time in the program this evening.
Thanks very much, Ross.